Good morning and welcome to the Tabernacle. We are so happy you joined us this morning. Oh, come on, let's bless the Lord this morning. Let's bless His holy and righteous name. We are so happy you decided to join us this morning here at Taylor Tabernacle. We welcome you this morning, whether you're joining us in person on Facebook or YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan Ford is our pastor. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. Just lift His name this morning. Let's shake off the dust this morning. Hallelujah. Just bless His holy name this morning. He allowed us to get up this morning and able to be clothed in our right mind, to call on His name, to bless His name for one more day. Oh, I want you to think this morning on the things He's brought you through, not just today, but yesterday, the day before, and throughout your life. He is worthy to be praised. He's healed somebody this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody this morning can give Him glory because He healed them of an infirmity this morning. Hallelujah. We lift His holy and righteous name up this morning. We just thank Him. We just bless the Lord. We just praise His holy name this morning. Amen. Amen. We glorify Him this morning. Bless His holy and righteous name. Robert, I'm going to ask you if you could grab me a Bible, please, because I walked up without my Bible. Thank you. Oh, I just want to give Him glory this morning. It's been a long, hard week, and I just feel so grateful that I'm allowed to get into His presence one more time. Just one more time. Thank you, dear. I just bless His name, and I thank you one more time this morning. Hey, this morning, I'm going to read for you my favorite psalm. Amen. And it fits this morning because, like I said, it's been a long, hard, emotional week. Homegoing of a family member, and the service was this past Friday. But this sinks down in my soul. And it's one we all know, the 23rd Psalm. But I know it's a keeper. I hold it down in my spirit. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Oh, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Oh, Lord, I thank You that my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Each Sunday morning He blesses me to get here. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And when He calls me into His presence, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Oh, I don't know about you, but sometimes when the clouds overhang, they hang low and dark. I read that scripture and it's a salve to my soul. He's my shepherd. He's my protector. He's my keeper. And I don't have to fear because He's always with me. Amen. Amen. Bless His holy name this morning. Hey, a special treat this morning. We're going to have a sermonic selection by our praise and worship team. Amen. Amen. Just you? Oh. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining till He appeared, and the soul felt His word, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. The angel voice says, the night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh night, oh night divine.
Amen.
Amen. Bless His holy name this morning. Oh holy night, oh holy night. We're going to go into our communion service, and our deaconess, Courtney Stott, is going to give us our scripture. If we'd all stand, 1 Corinthians 11:23-34. Following that, our deaconess, Shanita Scott, will come and give us our confession of faith. And following that, our deacon, Khalil McFarland, will do the prayer of consecration over the communion table. Amen. Amen. And following that, the next voice you hear will be that of our pastor, Elder Jonathan Ford.
Good morning, church. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18-34. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are sick, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you shall all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Amen. Amen. I'm going to do our confession statement, so please repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Shall we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this great morning. We come before you to say thank you, Jesus. God, thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord, in the past 24 hours, in the past week, and in the past year, God. God, we thank you for never forsaking us, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And as we partake in this communion, God, we remember who you are, God. In the name of Jesus, God, for you, the Alpha and Omega, God. I pray that everyone that tastes this, God, renews their relationship with you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And that we remember the specialty that you, the special gift that you gave us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Good morning and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Rob put my Bible up here upside down. I was like, wait a minute. Trying to mess me up. Hey, I do thank you for this. Not just another Lord's Sunday, but another Communion Sunday. Thank God for those who serve and have prepared the sacraments for us. We're going to do the sacraments at the end of the sermon. So if you have them, just hold on to them. We'll do them at the end. Thank God for you with the flexibility of your schedule. We usually do communion on the first Sunday, but due to circumstances, we moved it to the third Sunday. So thank you for that as well. Let's thank our sister Alex. Amen. Beautiful solo. Thank God for you. Amen. Let's thank God for everyone who participated with Angel Tree last Sunday, right? Wonderful, wonderful job. What a blessing we were able to be to those in our community, to those children whose parents are incarcerated. So thank God for our sister Zakia and all of her elves and helpers. It was absolutely wonderful last Sunday afternoon as we had a time to fellowship with those families, those kids, and really be a blessing in their lives. Amen. If you have your Bible this Sunday, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter. We're going to look at verses 26 through 38. Didn't get my slides over to the AV team in time, so there's nothing on the big screen. That's my fault, not their fault. Was talking to John yesterday. He was like, Pastor, you gotta get that to me early. I got it working in and he's on a schedule. And I was like, oh man, I didn't have it. So we gotta do it the old fashioned way. You're actually gonna have to listen and take notes. Right? You got your iPad, your iPhone, you can take notes. So as I mentioned on last Sunday, throughout this season, this Advent season, thematically, I'm going to be preaching this theme, this higher point I want you to get. And that is, as we look at the birth of Christ, as recorded in the Gospels, as we look at this season, the Advent season, the Christmas season, I want you to listen to what the angels say, right? Relative to the birth of Christ, there are a number of characters involved in that, the primary one being the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But there are other characters. One of those characters are the angels, right? So this Christmas season, as we're preaching and teaching, I want you to listen, right, to what the angels say, right? There are other people speaking in the text. There are other people doing in the text. But I want you to pay special attention to what the angels say, okay? Now, it's not an exercise in futility, okay? Meaning, okay, Pastor, we're going to look at what the angels say. I want you to do it here on Sunday in church, because I also want you to do it for the remainder of the season in your personal devotion time. So I go on Sunday, every Sunday, Pastor's coming up and he's telling us to listen to what the angels say. So that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in your private time with God, and hopefully you completed your homework assignment, right? Last Sunday I told you to what? Pick, you gotta get a place. You gotta have a place, right? Somewhere in your house, reserved exclusively for you and God. So that, why? Why is that important? So that this week when you go there, what? I want you to listen to what the angels say, right? Listen to what the Spirit of God says to you in your private place, during your private time with God, right? So that's what we're talking about. All, see, listen to what the angels say, right? Luke 1:26, we're going to read that. Then we're going to add to the witness out of the Gospel of John, the third chapter. So Luke 1:26, we're going to read a number of verses there. Then we're going to jump over to John, the third chapter, beginning at the third verse, and pick up a few verses there just to add to the witness. Amen? Luke 1:26, if you're there, you'll see these words, familiar story, says, "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. There to a virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. He was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end.' So then Mary said to this angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' Again, the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Right? That's last week's sermon, right? And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. Here it is, verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Amen. Come on, let's look at the witness quickly. We'll get you off your feet. John 3:3, familiar passage. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Amen. May the Lord bless and consecrate his word to our heart. The waning moments that I have, I want to speak from the subject this Sunday, the incarnation in you. Right? The incarnation. That's a big theological word. It's got a lot of weight to it, so we got work to do this Sunday. But what I want to talk about, the incarnation, is the incarnation in you. Are you with me this Sunday? We talk incarnation, we all want to look at Mary. We want to put the whole weight on Mary. Right? But Jesus said, except a man be what? Born again. There's got to be an incarnation that happens. But this Sunday, let's examine it. Since the angels are drawing our attention there, let's look at the incarnation inside of you. Now unto him that is able, who alone can present us faultless before the Father and his holy angels, to the Son of God made flesh, in the person of Christ Jesus, we come before you now, this time, this day, this season, this hour, to do something not for us, but to do something inside of us. Even as the Holy Spirit did something inside of Mary thousands of years ago, God performed another miracle. God perform another incarnation this day. Show us how to be born again. This time not of flesh, but this time of the Spirit. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh this morning, this day, on every listening ear. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Thank God for you. Those in the vestibule, feel free to enter. Thank you for your consideration for the word of God and for prayer and your patience and waiting. But feel free to enter the sanctuary. This Sunday, I want to talk about the incarnation in you. The incarnation, right? you're a Christian, this is a word that you need to know and be familiar with. Okay? So again, I apologize for not having my notes up on the big board for you this Sunday, so you may need to jot this down on your iPad, your iPhone. You may have notes. If you don't have any, do like we used to do in school, write it in your hand. We used to write stuff in our hand other than just our boyfriends and girlfriends' numbers. It wasn't recommended, but that's what we did. The incarnation is a central Christian doctrine. It states that God became human by taking the form of Jesus Christ. Right? God became human by taking the form of God became human. That which was spiritual became natural. Right? The incarnation is the belief that God became human or was made flesh, right? According to John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh, right? And we beheld the wonder of His life. But the Word was made flesh by being conceived in the Virgin Mary's womb. The word incarnation comes from the Latin word kairo, which means flesh. The incarnation is based on the ideal that Jesus was both fully human and at the same time fully God. Okay? He becomes to us the what? The God-man. Dwelling in one person, one chasing of flesh, right? Was all humanity and all divinity, right? And John said, we beheld the wonder. Something that had never been seen, never been seen before in heaven or in the earth. A God man. Now, in the earth, we had seen a man who was made in the image of God, but was not God. Right? Are you with me this Sunday? Right? Hit the person next to you and say, you got to wake up this Sunday. Pastor's teaching this Sunday. You can't sleep your way through it this Sunday. All right? Right? The incarnation, based on the ideal that Jesus was both fully human and fully God at the same time. Christians believe that Jesus is God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. The incarnation is most closely related to the claim in the Gospel of John, as we alluded to, where it says that the Word became flesh. This Sunday, I want to talk about the incarnation in you. Right? And in order to do that, as we examine this Sunday's scriptures, let's pay attention to what the angel says. Are you with me this Sunday? If you're with me, say, I'm here this Sunday, Pastor. Here it is, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. It was there that he came to a virgin who was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to Mary, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Right? So Mary comes in. She's been out Christmas shopping. She's been out getting ready. The holidays are here. She's getting her ham, her roast beef, collard greens. She's working it all out. Christmas dinner, right? And it's a big Christmas dinner. Why? Why is it a big Christmas dinner? Why? Because she's now engaged. Because she's engaged, guess who's coming to dinner? Joseph's family, right? Let's get look at the dinner's got to be perfect. The house has got to be clean. The lights and the decorations. Why? His family is coming to dinner, right? So at this particular time, Mary wasn't fooling around, right? So she's coming back in bags in her hand, groceries, all types of stuff. She's trying to get in the house so she can start getting things ready for this season, right? And she is startled because as she enters the house, right, there's an angel. And so she's trying to deal with what she's seeing, and then the angel begins to speak to her. Listen what he says. He said, look, it's in, you got it in your text, you just read it. He says, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. So the first thing he tells her to do is rejoice. Right? The Bible writer tells us in Philippians 4:4 that we ought to rejoice in the Lord when? All right. Rob, let's go to the other church. Because obviously we had the wrong church this Sunday, right? The Philippian writer said we ought to rejoice in the Lord. What? And then he says, and again I say what? Anytime you encounter an angel or a presence of God, you ought to give the Lord some kind of praise. Do I got my real church this Sunday? Right? This isn't the normal. And she didn't just come home and find Joseph sitting on the sofa watching foot. She came in and found an angel from God. He said, look, I know you don't know how to handle this, so let me help you. He said, the first thing you do, you got to learn to rejoice. Because I am here on assignment for you. So when you hear from the angel this holiday season, don't call me. Don't call your friends. Don't call your prayer partner. You see that angel? Immediately, Lord, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this season of it. You could have gone to any other house. You could have stopped by any and seen any other person. But thank you for visiting me, right? Look at somebody and say, rejoice in the Lord. And then he calls her highly favored. This phrase, highly favored, means full of grace. He called her highly favored, meaning full of grace, which portrays Mary as well as all believers, right? Not just Mary, but by extension, all believers as recipients of divine grace. You're highly favored. What makes you highly favored? Because you are, I am, we are recipients of divine grace. Are you guys with me on that? All right, let me put it in context. He didn't have to go to Mary's house. All right, let me come at it, Bart, let me restate it. I'm using the stuff I teach, right? I'm going to say the same thing, but I'm going to say it a different way. Get this one. He didn't have to choose Mary. There were other virgins in Nazareth. There were other virgins in Jerusalem, right? There were other women married to high priests like her cousin Elizabeth. He could have chosen them. But divine grace, divine favor means God chose you. Could have chose anyone, but he chose you. Are you with me this Sunday? Touch your neighbor and tell him you're highly favored. You're highly favored because he chose you. Then he says, the Lord is with you. What makes you highly favored? You're a recipient of divine grace.
And because you have divine grace, it is a sign that the Lord is with you. He tells his disciples, as he ascends up into heaven, he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." The Lord is with you, not just today, but yesterday. The Lord is with you, not just in your past, but he's with you even now in your present. The Lord is with you. That means tomorrow morning when you get up, guess where he'll be? With you. Right? And for the remainder of your life, the Lord will. Now, I want you to understand, I'm dealing big theological stuff. Incarnation, right? The God-man, fully God, fully human. And this thing of divine grace, it's big. It's big because the Bible tells us that he chose us in eternity. He said before you were even formed in your mother's womb, he tells the prophet, "I already knew you." And not only did I already know you, but I had already chosen you. I had already decided you're going to be my man. I made a decision, right? I made a choice. I could have called others, but I chose you. And I didn't just choose you today, because when I came down here, no one else was available. No. But in your past, I chose you. In your present, I still choose you. And in your future, I'm going to stick with my choice of you. Look at somebody and tell them the Lord is with you. And then he says this, "And so blessed are you." Now you're blessed because you got divine favor. You're blessed because of the divine grace you have. It's a sign that what? The Lord is with you. And get this, this is your preaching point. Simply because the Lord is with you, it means what? Blessed are you. I got divine favor. I got divine grace. I have the presence of the Lord. He's with me. He's been with me in my past, my present, and my future. And as a result, the angel says, blessed are you among me. Raise your hand if you feel blessed. You feel blessed. All right, I was actually hoping that less people would raise their hand. Y'all done messed up my example. Because the reality is, most days you don't feel or think that you are blessed. The majority of the days you spend wishing you were somebody else. You wish you had what someone else had. You wish you lived where someone else lived. You wish you could do what someone else could do. And as a result, you don't feel blessed. And I'm here to tell you that Mary, on this particular occasion, did not feel blessed. Most marriages during that particular biblical time in antiquity, most marriages, get this, were arranged. You didn't choose your companion. Your parents did. Right? Tina used to ask us all the time, what's love got to do with it? Because back then, it had nothing to do with it. My parents and they done made arrangements. They said, I have to marry him. I don't know him. We've never been out on a date. Now everybody's coming over for dinner. I don't feel blessed. But yet, what does the angel say? Angel said, you're blessed. Right? So let me get out of this before I get myself excited. Help me preach it. Look at someone and just tell them, you're blessed. Even when you don't feel blessed. That's the whole point I'm trying to make here. Help me. If you got it, say I got it. I'm finished with it then. I don't need to keep going. If you got it, you got it. So you don't always feel blessed. You don't always feel holy. You don't always feel perfect. You don't always feel clean. You don't always feel that everything is right. But regardless of how you feel, regardless of what the world says about how you feel, I'm trying to tell you that if you listen to the angel said, you're blessed. You're blessed because you're highly favored, right? You're blessed because the Lord is with you. Even when it doesn't feel like he's with you, when it doesn't seem like he's with you, the mere fact that the Lord is with you means you're blessed. Here it is, verse 29. Let me keep moving. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered, what manner of greeting is this? What? One, who are you? Two, how did you get in my house? And what is all this you talking about, highly favored, the Lord, and I'm blessed? Right? What kind of greeting is this? What did I then step into here? Right? So here it is. And again, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Right? And that's nothing more than just saying he chose you. He found favor in you, and as a result, he chose you. And behold, here it is, verse 31. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. That's all I want. 32 and 33, y'all read that on you. Here it is. Do not be afraid. You found favor with God. Here it is. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Right? Here it is. This is the message. You get this? You got the sermon. What the angel's going to clue you into this season is that in this Christmas, this holiday season, Advent season, listen, everybody look at me. Like you teach at school, I'm just going to stand here and wait until everybody's looking at me. What God is going to do, he's going to do inside of you. Did you hear what I said? This season, I want you to listen for the angel. Right? This is one of the ways you're going to know it's the angel. He's not going to talk to anything, right, that is external to you. If you hear somebody's talking and they're talking about stuff that is external to you, it's not the angel. The angel's not going to come and talk to you about your house. The angel's not going to come and talk to you about your bills. Not going to talk to you about your finances. When the angel comes, he's not going to talk to you about school. Right? He's not going to talk to you about your marriage. When the angel comes, right, he is going to begin working inside of you. Look at somebody and tell them, that's where God works. God works in the deep places. God works in the dark. Remember last Sunday I was talking about the stuff we don't like to talk about? The stuff we got hidden way, way, way. That's where God works. That's where God is at his best. And I got the witness to prove it, right? The witness says what? The earth was what? Void and without. It was a mass of dark nothingness. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. And the Bible said, into the deep darkness, God stepped into it, right? And start doing God's stuff. He began to speak to the what? The deep places of the earth. He began to talk to the deep places of the solace and said, let there be. That's when the angel talks. This is how you're going to know it. He's going to talk to you about things inside of you. I'm not going to talk about your car. If your car is broke down now, it's still going to be broke down after the angel is. You're not fixing your car. Right? You're not getting to say, if you don't have a job now, you're still going to be unemployed after the angel speaks. That's not going to change. He doesn't speak to that stuff. That's why the majority of you miss what the angel says, because you're looking for him to speak to the external things of you. The external things of you, that's for you to handle. I need God to speak to the deep things, because that's the stuff that only God can handle. Are you with me? So he tells them, behold, you will conceive in your womb. The deep place. Way inside the female anatomy. He said, God's going to move on you. Are you with me? Good. If you got it, say, I got it. Here it is. I got to keep moving. So Mary says to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? I'm here to help you, because some of you are going to hear from the angels this holiday. Unlike any other Christmas. Any other Christmas, you're just doing and going, and January comes, you're tired and broke. But this Christmas, God is sending an angel to your house. And my job as your pastor is to prepare you to receive this angel so that you don't miss your season of visitation. Here's what I don't want to happen. This is what I don't want to happen. You don't take anything out of these sermons. The angel comes and you miss him. I don't want that to happen. Right? Because I don't want you to miss the angel and therefore miss your blessing of what God wants to do inside of you. Then come to church and see me dancing, shouting, and spinning around and doing the moonwalk, because I got the message. I prepared for the angel. I had a place for me in God. When I got there, I was alert. I was listening. I knew it was the angel, because he didn't talk to me about my car. He didn't talk to me about my house. He told me what God was going to do inside of me. And as a result, I did what the angel said, and I began to rejoice. You come to church in January and say, why in the world is the pastor shouting all over the church? And not just the pastor. She's shouting. He's shouting. He's shouting. That one's shouting. This one over here is the visitor. Why is everybody shouting except me? Right? Isn't that what he said to Israel, to Jerusalem? You missed your hour
of visitation.
I came to you. But what did he say? You received me not. Jesus said, I came to my own. You see me not. I sent my prophets. I sent my angels. And you wonder why you're not blessed. If you're not blessed going into the coming year, it's not God's fault. It's not the angel's fault. It's not your pastor's fault. It's not your companions. Stop being mad at your companions. It's not their fault. That's why he gave you a pastor to clue you in. To let you know the angel's coming. And you got to be ready. Because he's going to speak to the deep of you. The dark places. The secret place. I told you last Sunday. He's going to speak to the places you don't talk about. You don't testify about. That's where God's going to work. Inside of you. Are you with me? Here it is. Let me give you this. Here it is. God is going to do something inside of you. Psalms 51:6 says, behold, now desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Did you all guys get that? Psalms 51, it's just all it's saying is this. God works on the inside. That's all it's saying, right? Right? He says, therefore, the psalmist says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He's not talking about wash me externally. He's talking about wash me inwardly. Get that hyssop. Get it. Clean out my heart. Clean out my mind. Clean out my spirit. Clean out. Why? So that I can receive what you're getting ready to do inside of me. Look at somebody and say, he works inside. Here it is. I'm finished. 34, then Mary, how can this be? I don't know a man. And unlike Zacharias, when he heard the angel, he doubted. Right? And as a result, we found out last Sunday that the angel did what? He had to shut his mouth. Said, since you don't believe, you shall not speak. Right? And so now, here's another, the same angel, Gabriel, but now comes to Mary. And Mary says, how can these things be? This is where she got out. She almost got with Zachariah, but then she added it. She said, seeing, I know not a man. Right? What she's saying, she wasn't doubting God. She was doubting the human reproductive system. Right? She wasn't doubting God. She said, God, I don't believe. No, that's Zachariah. Zachariah doubted. Zachariah said, well, how can this be seeing I'm old? Ain't nothing happening now. Zachariah doubted. But Mary, how can this be seeing that I don't know? She said, I understand how the female anatomy works. And for what you said to come to pass, certain things, watch this, by your design must happen. Mary said, I didn't make reproduction up. You did. And you designed it to work this way. So you said it. Hey, but I'm just curious, what are you going to do with the reproductive system? Seeing as though I've never been with a man, right? We started out by saying what? He was betrothed to a what? A virgin called Mary, right? Look at somebody and say, don't doubt. Here it is. Lord knows I'm finished. Here it is. 35. So the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Right? Jump down to 37 so I can quit and we get out of this. Here's the whole sermon right here. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Notice that the angel didn't refute her facts. He was like, well, no, you're right. God did design it that way. No, you're right. That is how it works. But this time, right? Let me see if my real church is here. God said, this time, I'm going to make an exception. Oh my God. He said, I'm going to make an exception. I'm going to go outside of the normal rules. I'm going to go outside of the normal. I wish somebody in here ought to get happy. Because you'll keep looking for God to do it the way he did it for her and the way he did it for them. But this time, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and he's going to do it different than he's ever done it before. Somebody give the Lord a praise. He said, Mary, you're right. That is how it works. That it is under that method that your cousin, Elizabeth, who is old, shall give birth. Matter of fact, she's 6 months down the road of the normal process, the normal reproductive system. But Mary, what God is getting ready to do inside of you shall not follow the normal, the standard, the same process. It shall be different. You shall be different. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Listen, that's why you have to listen for the angel. Anything you hear this holiday season, and it's the same thing, don't go for it. Whether you're in church, at home, at work, if they tell you something about you and you've heard it before, listen to me. That's not the angel. First and foremost, the angel's only going to speak in the private place. That's the only way you're going to hear. You're not going to hear him at work. You're not going to hear him at church. You're going to hear him in that private place. What's the private place? The holy place. Right? Isn't that where Zechariah went? The most holy. That's where you see. So that's where. If you heard it before, the same thing, don't go for it. If it speaks to anything that is your external, it's not the angel. That's not the angel. God God, this is why your ears got to be. This is what. Here it is. This is your word for you. The Bible says this. He that has an ear. Sometimes in order to hear clearly, you have to turn down all the other noise. Let me tell you how crazy my kids are. Jermaine buy them all this, all the kids got it now. Headphones, earbuds, just everything ear. So that what? They can hear their music privately. I'm the only one in my house without an iPhone, an Apple phone. Right? I don't have any earphones. I don't have the headsets. I don't have earbuds. When you see me tapping my ear, that's because I got wax in it. I'm not turning the volume up on my phone. What you ought to do is give me a Q-tip and say, here you go, Pastor. I just want to be a blessing to you this Christmas. My kids are crazy. They got all this stuff that Jermaine got it too. They all got this stuff. The TV is right next to the kitchen. I sit down. I'm watching TV. They come down to go in the kitchen. They got headphones. They got earbuds. But when they come in the kitchen, where I'm sitting right next to it, I'm going to be watching the Eagles game today. And right here, they come down and guess what? They got their phones black. What are you doing? I'm trying to watch games and I get upset because I can't hear. Then I get doubly upset because you say your mom bought you all this stuff. Now watch this. When I call them to take out the trash, guess what? I come in, I bust in the room, I'm acting all crazy. Dad, I didn't hear you. I got my earphones on. I got my earbuds in. I didn't know you wanted the trash out. If you're going to hear the angels, you've got to turn the noise down. That's why you need a place. The other thing you need with a place, you need a time. What's important about the time? You got to make sure it's quiet in your house. Right? Don't try to get with God at dinner time. Not that he's not available. You're not available. Too much going on. Right? Are you with me? I tell you, I'm trying to be a helpful pastor. I'm trying to do everything I can during this time that you've given me to prepare you to hear. Hey, why am I preaching this? This is my conviction. I believe the angel is going to speak to people in this house. That's what I believe. I could have preached anything. I could have touched down anywhere in the scriptures, right? But no, he said, preach this. Preach these. Prepare the people. John the Baptist's whole purpose was one thing, to do what? Prepare the people. Why? He's coming. It's no more he will be coming. It's no more the Messiah. No. John got down to the Jordan. He said this. He looked up and he said these words, behold, the Lamb of God. That was his whole purpose in life. He said, it's not me. I'm here to prepare the way for the real guy who's coming. And all along, repent, be baptized, get in the joy. Oh, to what? So that when he comes, you don't miss him. How many in Israel missed the coming of the Messiah? Get this. I want you to get this. They couldn't blame John. Couldn't. Some wanted to. Some even beheaded him. But they couldn't blame him. Jesus said what? There's none like him. He said a greater prophet there is not. Not than John the Baptist. He told them everything they needed to know so that when he came, they could what? See him and by faith believe in him and as a consequence receive him. Are you with me? Do you understand why I'm up here sweating this Sunday? It's not merely because I'm out of shape. It's I'm desperate to get this message in your hands because your blessing depends on it. Why? This time, this holiday season, this Christmas season, it won't be about Mary. Mary has already given birth to her miracle. This Christmas, it's time for you to give birth to your miracle. Raise your hand if you're ready for God to do a miracle in your life. Clark sisters used to sing a song, I'm looking for a miracle. They tore the gospel charts up with that song. It resonated with so many people because so many people are looking for a miracle. The only way you receive a miracle is if you hear what the angel says to you. Because that hearing starts the incarnation inside of you. Never before had they seen it done in this manner. Read all the history books. There's never been a virgin birth. It always follows the normal course of reproduction. And watch out for these men and women trying to play God. I'm telling you, that's not God's way. He's going to do it different, but he's going to do it differently inside of you. Every man, lift your hand up. Every man, lift your hand up. Every man, lift your hand up. Put your hand down on your stomach. This is for you. You hear this message, it's Mary, it's virgin birth, it's all, and we think it's rich. Behold, thou art blessed among women. Men, you're blessed too. And he's going to do it the same manner. He's going to do it inside of you. And we won't be able to compare notes. James, the way he blesses you is going to be different than the way he blesses me. Josh is going to be different what he does for you in the coming year than what he does for Dick. But one thing we will all be able to agree on, that if it had not been for the Lord, he did it different in my life, but we can all agree it was the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. And it is what marvelous in our sight. If you got it, say, I got it. If you're ready for me to quit, say, quit, Pastor. Y'all think y'all slick. Y'all didn't say it, but you really want me to quit. Here it is. I'm finished. I'm finished. The Holy Spirit come upon you. The power of the higher will overshadow. We used to sing this in the old church, old song. We used to sing God specialize. What does he specialize in? Let me sing it. How many people from the old church? You remember the old church? You got saved in the old church, right? This is a song one of the church mothers would sing in the church. They sing this. They would say, do you have any rivers that seem uncrossable? I wish I had the old church this Sunday. Or do you have any mountains that you just seem like you cannot tunnel through? No way to get through. I'm stuck. This is where I am. I can't go forward because I got mountains. I can't go backwards because I got, and I'm just stuck. But the church mother would say, I want you to realize something. God specializes. Watch this. In things impossible. He will do what no other power. Look at somebody and say, God specializes in things that seem impossible. He will do what no other power can do. Why? Because God specializes. He can. Woo! Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Anybody in this church knows that God specializes? Somebody give the Lord a praise. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again. I say, rejoice. Give him a praise. Go for it, tell her. Go. Woo! Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. It seems impossible. No way. No how. There's no way I'm going to come out of this. But God specializes. He can. Yes. Woo. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He does the impossible. He can do what no other power can do. God, He specializes. So half the church got the message. The other half, your name is Zacharias, because you don't believe that God can get you out of your impossible situation. But here's the key to it. I did all this to help you. You got to be able to hear the angel. But when you do everything that I've given you to do, the angel speaks, and he speaks to the deep place. Get this, and he speaks something crazy. The proper response, the only response, is what he told Mary in the beginning. Rejoice. Because if you could see your way out of it, you don't need God. But the old song said, do you have any rivers that seem, there's no way I'm getting over it. I mean, it's just no way. Do you have any mountains? There's no way I'm getting through this. The church mother said, God specialize. He will do what no other power So that's what God's going to do. But what you got to do. Look what Mary said. This time I'm finished. That final verse. Mary heard from the angel. She realized God was going to do it differently in her than what he did in Elizabeth. So at the end, she just put her hands up. This is what she said. Look, it's in your Bible. She said this. She said, "Be thou unto me according to your word." Now, you may not recognize it because the language, but you know what she said? Know what she did? She began to give God the glory. She gave God the glory because this is your takeaway. I did all that to get you this one thing. Here's the thing you got to do more important than anything else. When you hear from the angel, let me have it. I want to make sure you get it. You must, by faith, receive it. Don't doubt God. I'm telling you, when he speaks, he's going to speak into something inside of you. And I'm telling you now, it's going to be crazy. It's not going to be normal. It's not going to be the way the other sisters in the church. James, it's going to be different. What he does in you and what he is going to be different. That's okay. Just don't doubt him. Just receive. She threw her hands up. Be thou unto me according to your word. And she did a little Jewish dance. She said, thank God. I'm not a virgin anymore. But it won't be Joseph's baby. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our sight. Shall we all stand? Don't focus on Mary this Advent season. Someone else is in this year's story. It's you. The incarnation is going to happen again. But this year it won't be Mary. This year it won't involve Joseph. This season, the angel is telling you right here, right now, the Holy Spirit is getting ready to come upon you. My job is to prepare you. Told John, prepare ye the way and make straight his path. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming to your house. Your family. This year, unlike any other year, the angel's going to speak to you. I'm so strongly convicted by this series of messages, I don't know what to do. One of the things we learned in our preaching class yesterday said, whatever you do, don't preach a second sermon. I'm so filled with this word, I could keep preaching another sermon. That's how charged I am with this message. That's how desperate I am for you to get it. It's coming. like on last Sunday, let's grab hands all over the church. Leave nobody disconnected. Grab somebody's hand. That hand. That person, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. Come on, let's get connected. Come on, let's get connected. Because I believe God is getting ready to do something in the house of Israel. And I want us to be connected because I don't want God just to bless my house. I need God to bless your house and your house and your house, her house and his house and their house and that house. So that the whole earth full of his glory. Come on, squeeze that hand. Come on, squeeze that hand. As you squeeze it, just remind them. Every squeeze is just a reminder. The angel's coming. That's why I'm squeezing your hand. The angel's coming. Squeeze that hand. Every time you squeeze that hand, you let them know you're already blessed. Squeeze that hand. Every time you squeeze, you let them know you're already highly favored. God has already chosen you. You ain't got to do nothing to be chosen. You're already chosen. Squeeze that hand. The angel's coming. The angel's coming. The angel's coming. Coming to your house. He's coming to your family. He's coming to your body. God is going to do something. So squeeze that hand. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh. Fall fresh. Let your anointing fall. Let it fall. Let it fall. Let it. Send the angel Gabriel. Let your anointing fall. Do something inside of me. It's never been done before. Do something fresh. Do something new. Do the impossible inside of me. I receive it. I receive it. Come on, lift your hands up. Lift your hands up all over the church. Just tell God, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it, Lord. I receive what the angel had. Lord, I receive it. Let it be unto me. Lord, I receive it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. I receive it. I receive it. Let it. Let it. Let it. Let it be on. I receive it. Receive. 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 That's all you got to do now. Receive. 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 Receive what God has for you. Receive what the angel has for you. This Christmas, God has a gift for you. Receive. Receive. Taylor, as a sign of your faith, not to me, but to the angel. Let's take 30 seconds and give God the best praise we have. 30 seconds, just give him your best. Just tell God, I receive it. And as a result, I give you the best praise. I give you my biggest praise. I give you my best. My best. my best. I won't hold back. I won't wait another Sunday. I give you the best, the best, the best praise I have. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I receive it. Just like I receive your broken body. Just like I receive your shed blood. So I receive the blessings of the Lord. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes. All over the sanctuary. Grab your communion victuals. Bread, wine, the sacred sacraments. Said according to your faith. It doesn't mean anything if you doubt. Communion doesn't mean anything if you doubt that it's his body. Communion doesn't mean anything if you doubt that the wine represents his blood. Anybody without the sacrament. Shall we? Pull back that first layer. Just lift up the bread. This is the body of the incarnation. The God-man. God enough to save us from our sins. Human enough to shed his own blood. Shall we all eat together? Took the cup of thanksgiving. Said to his disciples, this represents the new agreement, the new covenant. The middle curtain is torn down. No longer will you need a human high priest. The Bible tells us there is but one mediator between God and man. And it is the man, Christ Jesus. Said, this is my blood shed for you and for all of those that believe in me. You're here this Sunday and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you, even as Christ said to his disciples, drink ye all of it. Lord, I thank you for what you have done today in us, through us, above all for us. I thank you that you have impregnated me with the Word of God.
that I might push it out into the ears and hearts of listeners everywhere. Those to the packed house here in the sanctuary, those to the packed online service. God, and I pray that you would begin the incarnation process inside of each and every one of us. Cause us to be like Mary and become so pregnant with the things of God. So we sit back and watch you do the impossible. So I thank you now. We give heed to the word of God and we rejoice not only now but always. The wonder and splendor, the wisdom of God. Father, as I'm standing, those in need of healing in their body, stretch out your healing arm. Lord, remember our sister Peaches this morning and send an angel to that hospital, to that department, that room, that floor, and do what only God can do. Prove once again that you specialize in doing the impossible. And as I pray for Sister Preachers, I pray for the saints of God everywhere. Remember our brother Sean. Remember all others who are sick in their bodies. Those facing impossible situations. God, send an angel. Send an angel. Don't allow the enemy to withhold him or delay him in coming to our house. Send an angel. Prepare our hearts, our minds, ready us to receive a word from God that our lives would be impacted and never be the same again. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary.
To do the impossible. Amen. That's an oldie but a goodie. Those of us who had to clean on Saturday morning, we remember that one when it would come on the radio. God specializes and he will do what only his power can do. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but that fed my soul today. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm expectant of that angel. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on that angel. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Help me to be prepared. Amen. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Thank you, Lord, this morning for that word. Yes. Yes. I'm going to have to play that on my way home this afternoon. Amen. Amen. Hey, it's offering time in the tabernacle. Amen. I know it's been a while since I've been standing up here before you. It is offering time in the tabernacle. Woo, that's right. That's a little bit better. It's not, I'm just going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. But amen, amen. It is time for us to give what God has blessed us with. Amen. Our sister Alex is going to come, our beautiful soloist this morning, and lead us in offering. And she's going to go right into announcements. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. And following her, the next voice will be here will be that of our pastor for the benediction. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle 6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. You can also Cash App Pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Our announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this morning. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on the Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. The countdown to Taylor Tabernacle's Angel Tree Christmas is on. How can you help? Across nine families. This is done. Watch night service. Watch night service, December 31st at 10:30 p.m. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in-person corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. via Google Meets. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 o'clock a.m. via Google Meets every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. And also keep in mind Pastor's Wiley Challenge. That's it. Amen.
Mr. Alex. Well, we were getting an early start on Angel Tree. They starting early. They're getting ready. Come on, let's stand. Let's get out of here. Let me say this to those here in the sanctuary, those in the overflow, to those who are joining us online. Whatever you do, don't miss next Sunday. With that, I want to thank, let's give Brother Josh a hand, our bus driver, our van driver. Josh, I may need you to drive me home today. Good night. Whatever you do, don't miss next Sunday. It's going to be our Christmas Eve service. Be in the house. I tell you, I'm pregnant with the Word of God. The best is yet to come. That'll be on next Sunday. Do whatever you can to make sure your face is in the place. Amen. So with that, not going to delay the hour. Thank you again for all of those who served as part of the communion service, those who partook of the sacraments today. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. His name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being in us. So that we know we're highly favored because the Lord is with us. So as we depart this particular place, but never ever from your presence, go with us. As we go to our homes, as we go back to our communities and our neighborhoods and our families, stand up strong in the life of the believer everywhere. Give us courage and holy boldness to speak the truth at all times and on every occasion. Give every man a reasonable answer concerning our faith. 'Tis the season to go tell the world that Jesus is come. Amen to the Lord's Prayer. Before you leave this place, greet at least three people before you leave. Just hug and kiss on them and love on them. Thank them for their presence. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless you, Taylor.